You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Second hour of the program coming your way. Incendiary Radio. I'm going to play a little bit of this kind of a cue breakdown from this individual. And I thought some of it was pretty good. It's pretty balanced. So let's roll clip 5.
The key component flooding the minds of those who emphatically believe in the Q phenomenon is one of hope.
Letting us know that, you know, he hears us and, you know, we're on the same, it's the Q movement.
Is this a fun thing to know about, a fun thing to be a part
yes.
of?
Yes. It's fun because things get revealed.
It's fun because we know before it's going to happen a lot of times.
What storm, Mr. President?
You'll find out.
In late October of 2017, an anon from 4chan, under a thread titled Calm Before the Storm, made their first post, later calling themselves or selves Q, or Q Clearance Patriot, with Q Clearance being the highest level clearance in the Department of Energy, allowing access to top secret restricted data and national security information. Many allude to the coincidences, or quote, breadcrumbs, of Q's posts as Q proofs, that Q is indeed close to Trump, or that Q Plus is even Trump himself. At 5:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, post 123, Q said, "Nothing is random, everything has meaning, plus, plus, plus." 8 minutes later, at 5:15 Eastern Standard Time, Donald Trump tweeted, "Massive military and energy orders happening, plus, plus, plus." January 9th, 2018, an anon requested from Q, "Maybe Q can work the phrase tip-top into the State of the Union as a shout-out to the board." Meanwhile, references from Q saying "follow the white rabbit" had been posted. April 2nd, during Trump's commemoration of the White House Easter egg roll, Trump said this,
"And we keep it in tip-top shape. We call it sometimes tippy-top shape."
Q posted the same day saying, "It was requested. Did you listen today?" On January 7th, Trump flubbed a tweet misspelling consequential as, quote, consensual. He was ridiculed, quickly deleted the mistake, and corrected it with a new tweet correctly spelling the word consequential. But to Q, this was all part of the plan. Q posted shortly after saying, "Important. Do you understand what just occurred? POTUS missing Q in select word. POTUS mods tweet 1 minute between. POTUS adds Q in select word." Leading an anon on 8chan below to say, "Almighty God bless and protect Q. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The fundamental declaration from Q and Q's followers is that Trump's Justice Department possesses thousands of sealed indictments, growing in numbers every day, against wealthy elites, Democratic insiders, and celebrities who are affiliated with the, quote, deep state, and are guilty of gross misdeeds and corruption, including the intent to assassinate the president, even satanic ritualistic pedophilic abuse. But according to Q, this is all about to change.
QAnon.
I don't know why that's funny. I mean, do you have any in-person briefings?
The elites will be thrown in jail on a mass scale of arrests, bringing a new dawn of justice for the disenfranchised. Our racial tensions will diminish because those defects are the fault of the elites, brainwashing us into division. Our religious tribalism will wash away, as that is the fault of the Rothschilds and George Soros. They're the ones turning the screws on our society to keep us fighting each other. And once they get put behind bars, true progress for the Republic will rise again. Okay, I think I represented that the best I could. So what are we to make of this? Firstly, an insidious claim floats around much of the QAnon community that the blame for humanity's religious and racial tribalism lies primarily on the shoulders of elites who have, quote, engineered us into hate and disconnection.
We realized that the problem was never capitalism or socialism, Democrat or Republican, black or white, Muslim or Christian. We know it was just very powerful criminals who had too much power. With people still preoccupied with cabal-engineered social issues, they would likely revolt and hurt themselves and others.
This is a very simplistic, outside-in way to break down the most complicated parts of human nature, and has elements of a kind of boomer hope porn. It's false, and it wrongly aims the arrow of responsibility and change away from us. Although aspects of race do have their roots in social constructions, others are primarily biological, with in-group identity playing a role in how humans see themselves and relate to others. The American Project is to find a way for different populations to coexist peacefully and relinquish the reflex to use our race-based identities against each other under the guise of politics. This is only attainable if more of us place our focus on self-ownership and personal responsibility rather than outward blame. And this attitude is thwarted so long as we continue to place the primary source of our conflict away from our own minds and onto elites. While it's true the media and politicians can exploit and exacerbate in-group identity, the media and politicians are only able to do that because of our already existing tribalistic attitudes. The ability for different ethnic groups in America to focus more on their similarities is indeed hindered by a media empire that perpetuates fear and isolation, both left and right. But we are the ones watching it. We are the ones who are drawn to vicariously enjoying the violence and division on the screen. We feel good when our side made the other side look bad, as that reinforces our lower-natured connection to our ape-like ancestors. Have you ever thought that elites aren't this anomalous product built of evil, but an extension of ourselves? We are a population fueled by our lower nature. It makes sense that liars and thieves would rise to the top. If Q's correct, and a mass event of arrests are about to occur, which many already are, but the bulk of indictments currently happening under Mueller seem to run counter to the narrative put forward by Q. We will still have all our work cut out for us. And if your response is, well, at least the corruption and lies will stop, you don't understand that a population needs no elites to corrupt and to lie. These are problems available for us to fix. And although we do live in a system that makes it more difficult to fix, they do not and cannot make it impossible. The real matrix we're stuck in is between our ears.
All right, go ahead and stop it. Now, of course, I don't agree with some of the things put forth in that audio clip there about having ape-like ancestors or anything of that nature. I don't believe in evolution and that sort of thing. But there, it was at least kind of balanced to where I've been talking about the whole hopium thing with some of the folks that, you know, with the Q phenomenon and people showing up at the Trump rallies with their Q shirts and, you know, and people getting really involved in this And look, it's not something that you shouldn't. Well, I'm not giving anybody any advice. Personally, it's not something that I don't think I shouldn't pay attention to, but it's something that I don't think I should wager anything on that you know, things might not, you know, materialize in the way put forth in the narrative. Now, the narratives are quite complicated. It's all over the place, and you know, some people are good at decoding this sort of thing, and others, you know, there's people that were on board at first that are no longer on board, and they think it's a, you know, it's another element of psychological warfare. And then Ken said, "Can you win a war without hope?" And of course you can't. But the thing is the cue drops, are they the source of hope that you need? Is this the correct avenue to place your hope? And that's the question people are asking. And there's interesting intelligence drops, and there's some very, you know, if you listen closely to the folks that try to prove the veracity, and you know, the where things can't be coincidental, that angle, there are some very strong, let's say, evidences or circumstantial evidences that it's just like, look, this individual dropping the info is very close to the president. We'll just put it that way. But I like to be balanced about things, and is what it is. Let's see. We're at 11 after here. Let's I want to get into South Africa for a moment. Ken, if you could get clip 9 ready. This is Stefan Molyneux. And this is only like a minute long. But it's worth listening to. And then I'm going to read something off of Henry Mackow's site that was up on the 25th. Go ahead and roll clip 9.
For so many decades, we have been lectured to by the leftists that it is absolutely wrong and immoral to take people's labor by force, to steal their labor by force. That's called slavery, or the exploitation of the proletariat. We have also been told that it is absolutely wrong to take people's property by force, particularly in terms of colonialism and imperialism and how the West treated indigenous populations in various countries around the world. It's absolutely, completely, and totally wrong. And can you imagine, given how bad it is to do these things, how much worse it must be to do it on the basis of race alone? My goodness, how horrifying. That adds the compound sin of racism to the base original sin of exploitation and theft. However, there does seem to be one little wee asterisk in this particular formulation. It's really, really wrong to take people's labor by theft. It's really, really wrong to take people's property by theft. And it's absolutely wrong to do it on the basis of race. Except taking white people's farms in South Africa is totally great because principles.
All right. And then what's fascinating about some of these farms and so forth, some people have acquired this land not that long ago, within the last 20 years, and some of these things don't go back hundreds of years, and so forth and so on. So you when you look at some of these cases, you're just like, wow. Now, African National Congress, okay? In 1963, a group of Jews founded the African National Congress. The ANC was founded by Lionel Bernstein, Bob Heppel, Dennis Goldberg, Arthur Goldreich, Hazel Goldreich, and James Cantor, with a few African frontmen, Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, Govan Mbeki, father of Mathioto Mbeki, Raymond Malaba, and Ahmed Kathrada. In this, the AMC followed the model the Jews established when they founded the NAACP in the United States, with the exception that the ANC was a much more violent and openly communist organization. These Jews and their African National Congress received funding and support from both the Soviet Union and the United States CIA. Imagine that, State Department, you know. In particular, Ruth First, the Jewish wife of Jewish Soviet KGB Colonel Joe Shlovo, a leader of the South African Communist Party, was primarily responsible for funneling funds to the African National Congress. In 1966, the CIA financed the assassination of President Verwoerd through their lone nut operative, Demetrio Sassenfadas, a Greek immigrant to South Africa. In particular, Oppenheimer's South African Foundation funneled CIA money to Hendrik van den Berg of the South African Security Police and John Voorster, the Minister of Justice, who were the men who were recruited Sassenfadas to assassinate Verwoerd. By the 1970s, the Jewish campaign to subvert South Africa was having no effect. The economy was unaffected by sanctions, and communist unrest was minimal, though much was made of it in the Jewish-owned elements of the U.S. press. In 1978, the CIA recruited Pik Botha, the South African foreign minister, as a spy and used him to subvert the South African government, working with Samuel Huntington and Chester Crocker. Botha was assigned to undermine and alter the attitudes of the South African government regarding black rule. Botha recruited Minister of Sports Piet Kornhoff and Head of Military Intelligence General Tiene Groenewald to the CIA Jew operation. Groenewald in particular passed on the names of Afrikaner nationalists and white rights activists to MI6 and the CIA and arranged for acts of violence and harassment, COINTELPRO style, against Boer activists in the country. In the late 1970s and the early 1980s, the banking families, Oppenheimer in particular, began to speculate in the RAND for the purpose of devaluing the currency. Inflation rose to 7% and growth fell to 3%, with inflation reaching 16% in the early 1980s. In 1989, a Freemason with the ties to B'nai B'rith, the Jewish Masonic fraternity which controls the ADL, was elected president of South Africa. President Frederick de Klerk was a Jewish-backed candidate with ties to the international Zionist establishment. De Klerk worked for and eventually achieved the Jewish goal of black rule in South Africa. A South Africa central bank is run by a Jew named Gil Marcus, with the black frontman named Tito Mboweni taking instructions. Trevor Manuel, a Jew, is the Minister of Finance. Alec Irwin, a Jew, is the Minister of Trade and Industry. Helena Dolny, the Jewish ex-wife of KGB Colonel Joe Shlovo, runs the land bank. Ronnie Kasrils, a Jew, is the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry. Louise Tager, a Jew, is chairman of the railway system, Spornet. Michael Kotz, a Jew, is the chief consultant on taxation. Meyer Kahn, a Jew, is the managing director of the police service. Three Jews, Richard Goldstone, Arthur Chaskelson, and Albert Sachs, sit on the South African Supreme Court. What has happened in South Africa under the name of democracy and diversity has been the Jewish takeover of their country. As with all Jewish governments, South Africa is now a failed nation. It is poor, crime-ridden. It is not safe to walk the streets. I was just on another website watching this white South African guy getting mugged in a big mall in South Africa. And everybody was laughing. And while the three assailants just basically almost stripped him, took everything of worth on him and left him laying there, and then all the people are just walking by, basically laughing and smiling and so forth. It's fascinating. Let's see here. Here's another article: "The Devil and the Jews," September 3rd, 2018. Remember, Henry Mackow, the guy that runs this site, is Jewish. But he is a basically Christian worldview type guy, and so he's willing to not throw punches when it comes to people, you know, the plotters and schemers. Okay, so let's see. There's no Wikipedia entry for The Devil and the Jews, Yale University Press, 1943, or its author, Rabbi Joshua Trachtenberg, 1904 to 1959. There are no reviews on the internet, no images of the good rabbi anywhere. And we will continue this on the other side of the break. I'm going to read a little bit of this.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we're back. Now back to the article. When Europe was a Christian theocracy, say from 1050 to 1650, Judaism was regarded as a satanic cult, and Jews were considered agents of the devil. We're familiar with the Jewish persecution complex. During this period, Christians had a parallel fear. They believed that the Jews both hated them and conspired to destroy Christendom. They believed the long-awaited Jewish Messiah was in fact the Antichrist. Their association with this awful figure assumed really frightening proportions toward the end of the Middle Ages, when Antichrist Jewish parentage became definitely established and the Jews were expected to form the spearhead of his legions. And there's so many works that corroborate this narrative. They were not quite so weak, judging from their numbers and social position. For a terrible, mysterious Jewish horde hidden somewhere in the East awaited the signal to pour out on Christendom and annihilate it. The rumors of the birth of the Antichrist after the 13th century kept Europe on edge, awaiting the bloody outbreak of the Red Jews. Jews were accused of colluding with Mongol invaders on the eastern frontiers. They were just as likely to desecrate a church, murder Christian infants in secret, spread poisons with the wind, or practice infamous sexual perversities. The catalog of alleged Jewish crimes is long and varied indeed, and wholly unreasonable, writes Trachtenberg. Unless we accept the self-evident fact that in medieval eyes, that is Satan's agents, nothing was beyond the depraved and evil nature of the Jews. For many, this Illuminati Jewish threat seems more urgent today, with the demoralization of mankind and the creation of the American police state. Let's see. As long as there remains among the Gentiles any moral conception of the social order, until all faith, patriotism, and dignity are uprooted, our reign over the world shall not come. And let me just say this. Christendom destroyed. The Kabbalist conspiracy is on the cusp of success. God has been banished from public life. Illuminati Jews control the mass media and can deceive and degrade the masses. Entertainment is an orgy of pornography, apocalyptic chaos, obscenity, propaganda, social engineering, predictive programming, violence, and Satanism. They're behind the promotion of homosexuality and transgenderism designed to destroy marriage and family. They're at the forefront of sexual liberation, pornography, and abortion. The mass media is obsessed with sex. It is a fawning fetish for fertile females, and even children aren't safe. Stock market is a giant casino with millions day trading. Christianity has been Judaized, concerned with social change rather than spiritual development and salvation. Let's see. And let me get into Protocol 6 real quick. The aristocracy of the Goyim as a political force is dead. We need not take it into account. But as landed proprietors, they can still be harmful to us from the fact that they are self-sufficing in the resources upon which they live. It is essential, therefore, for us at whatever cost to deprive them of their land. Think of South Africa. This object will be best attained by increasing the burdens upon landed property and loading lands with debt. These measures will check landholding and keep it in a state of humble and unconditional submission. I mean, this is the program. Look at the taxes on people on your property. People in places like New Jersey, their property taxes on a month-by-month basis are larger sometimes than their actual mortgage. The aristocrats of the Goyim, being hereditarily incapable of contenting themselves with little, will rapidly burn up and fizzle out. Let's see here. All right, so we'll stop there. See you guys on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we're back. So, where should we go from here? Just got done reading Protocol 6. So, I stumbled across this one. Nietzsche's prediction on what basically what was going to happen with Jewry. And this is his prediction from way back in 1881. So, Ken, with no further ado, if you could play clip number 4.
In the year 1881, in Nietzsche's least studied work, Daybreak, Friedrich Nietzsche included a pretty astounding prediction about a certain religious nation. And I just wanted to read this prediction, because if you think about this, this was written in 1881. And the foresight that Nietzsche had really is astounding. So without further ado, this is section 205 of Daybreak, The People of Israel. One of the spectacles which the next century will invite us to witness is the decision regarding the fate of European Jews. It is quite obvious now that they have cast their die and crossed their Rubicon. The only thing that remains for them is either to become masters of Europe or to lose Europe, as they once, centuries ago, lost Egypt, where they were confronted with similar alternatives. In Europe, however, they have gone through a schooling of 18 centuries such as no other nation has ever undergone, and the experiences of this dreadful time of probation have benefited not only the Jewish community, but to an even greater extent the individual. As a consequence of this, the resourcefulness of the modern Jews, both in mind and soul, is extraordinary. Amongst all the inhabitants of Europe, it is the Jews who least of all try to escape from any deep distress by recourse to drink or to suicide, as other less gifted people are so prone to do. Every Jew can find in the history of his own family and of his ancestors a long record of instances of the greatest coolness and perseverance amid difficulties and dreadful situations, an artful cunning in fighting with misfortune and hazard. And above all, it is their bravery under the cloak of wretched submission, their heroic spernere se sperne, that surpasses the virtues of the saints. I tried to look this up, spernere se sperne, and the only thing I could find was the scorn of scorning oneself. So make of that what you will. Anyway, back to the segment. People wished to make them contemptible by treating them contemptibly for nearly 20 centuries, and refusing them access to all honorable positions and dignities, and by pushing them further down into the meaner trades. And under this process, indeed, they have not become any cleaner. But contemptible? They have never ceased for a moment from believing themselves qualified for the very highest functions, nor have the virtues of the suffering ever ceased to adorn them. Their manner of honoring their parents and children, the rationality of their marriages and marriage customs, distinguishes them amongst all Europeans. Besides this, they have been able to create for themselves a sense of power and eternal vengeance from the very trades that were left to them, or to which they were abandoned. Even in palliation of their usury, we cannot help saying that, without this occasional pleasant and useful torture inflicted on their scorners, they would have experienced difficulty in preserving their self-respect for so long. For our self-respect depends on our ability to make reprisals in both good and evil things. Nevertheless, their revenge never urges them on too far, for they all have that liberty of mind and even of soul produced in men by frequent changes of place, climate, and customs of neighbors and oppressors. They possess by far the greatest experience in all human intercourse. And even in their passions, they exercise the caution which this experience has developed in them. They are so certain of their intellectual versatility and shrewdness that they never, even when reduced to the direst straits, have to earn their bread by manual labor as common workmen, porters, or farmhands. In their manners, we can still see that they have never been inspired by chivalric and noble feelings, or that their bodies have ever been girt with fine weapons. A certain obtrusiveness alternates with a submissiveness which is often tender and almost always painful. Now, however, that they unavoidably intermarry more and more, year after year, with the noblest blood of Europe, they will soon have a considerable heritage of good intellectual and physical manners, so that in another 100 years they will have a sufficiently noble aspect not to render themselves, as masters, ridiculous to those whom they will have subdued. And this is important, and therefore a settlement of the question is still premature. They themselves know very well that the conquest of Europe, or any act of violence, is not to be thought of. But they also know that some day or another, Europe may, like a ripe fruit, fall into their hands, if they do not clutch at it too eagerly. In the meantime, it is necessary for them to distinguish themselves in all departments of European distinction, and to stand in the front rank, until they have advanced so far as to determine themselves what distinction shall mean. Then they will be called the pioneers and guides of the Europeans whose modesty they will no longer offend. And then, where shall an outlet be found for this abundant wealth of great impressions accumulated during such an extended period and representing Jewish history for every Jewish family? This wealth of passions, virtues, resolutions, resignations, struggles, and conquests of all kinds. Where can it find an outlet but in great intellectual men and works? On the day when the Jews will be able to exhibit to us their own work, such jewels and golden vessels as no European nation, with its shorter and less profound experience, can or could produce, when Israel shall have changed its eternal vengeance into an eternal benediction for Europe, then that seventh day will once more appear when old Jehovah may rejoice in himself, in his creation, in his chosen people, and all of us will rejoice with him. Thank you for watching.
So, sorry about that. So, I muted my microphone. Interesting 1880s take on things by Nietzsche. I wasn't familiar with that kind of, you know, whatever you want to call it, foreseeing of certain things. And a lot of people are like, well, a lot of the things kind of did happen, and then some of the other things, you know, veered crazily outside of that. A prophecy, if you will, or foreshadowing, or whatever you want, predictions. You know, I was thinking when I was listening to that, the Weimar Germany, the degeneracy, and I was thinking of Hollywood and all of that. You know, it seems like basically, and I was thinking also of the Red Terror, the Cultural Revolution in China, present-day South Africa. And so what it looks like to me is the bloodthirsty Talmudists, the anti-Gentile killer instinct has won the day, and this is going to be a ruthless... they envision themselves to be a ruthless bunch of managers. Look at the snipers, in modern day Israel, Palestine, where these guys sit up there and they're in their prone position. you know, the kids playing soccer on the beach, and the shell comes in, blows them up. The Israelis bringing out their couches, and they're all partying and eating popcorn and getting drunk, watching the bombs drop on Gaza. You know, Tel Aviv, with, you know, the most gay friendly city in the world. You know, these, you know, the Europe as a fruit for the Israeli, you know, this kosher Nostra to grab at, the Zodiac boats and the so-called refugee boats, just crashing into Europe. Gaddafi's prophecy really coming to pass. You know, these, you got to look at why they did that to Gaddafi. And was it basically, you know, the Sarkozy's of the world? I couldn't think of his name the other night when I was on the air. Nicolas Sarkozy, the one that said all French people are going to have to race mix and all the rest of that, this Jewish guy. So they oust Gaddafi, and then boom, the waves of Africans and so forth start crashing into Europe. And so the genocide of the European continent, the genocide of the European in South Africa, it's happening a little bit slower here in the United States. I mean, and I was watching mainstream media, Malcolm Nance and these gangsters on MSNBC talking about the ANC, these communist butchers in South Africa. None of them mention the fact that the ANC is a bunch of basically Zio communists. They're just a present legitimate government in South Africa, and they need to split this land up because these blah 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 blah. You see, they don't want to let the dummies that watch MSNBC realize that the ANC is a bunch of bloodthirsty red terror communists. And you know, the whole thing, you know, the suicide rate among people, the overdose rate, you know, it gets you to the point where, you know, they want to push us into hopelessness. You know, this is off the Daily Stormer, which we know is, you know, there, but sometimes there's some things on there that are quite funny. And where McCain's daughter, America was always great. Okay. Now she's on The View or whatever, full blown commie. McCain's overweight daughter said it's best. America was always great. That is, there was no reason to change anything because everything was perfect, exactly how it was before the election of Donald Trump. We were getting flooded with infinite amounts of genetic waste from the third world. We were dying of drug overdoses in record numbers. We were poor. We were funding the entire world. We were preparing for a world war with Russia, which we still might be, by the way, ostensibly to protect terrorists in Syria. And all was exactly how these people wanted it to be. That's their image of greatness, but it's over now. That America created by the Jews is already dead. A new America has been born, an America that aspires toward a higher purpose for the people of this country, which doesn't seek to bleed the nation to death in order to fund an international Jewish agenda, an America which puts itself first. This is the America that the founding fathers envisioned, and it was derailed by monstrous Jews and their lackeys like John McCain, Barack Obama, and George Bush. But from these ashes, we are rising again. And this was Trump's response to the attackers at the funeral, "Make America Great Again." Everybody knows he tweeted that in capital letters. Whatever happens now, there's no going back to the old order. John McCain's dead, and everything that he represented was on display at this decadent event where the conspirators are broken, begging for a return to the normalcy of dastardliness. God has given us a chance at redemption. It is up to us where we go from here. Pretty good stuff right there. And who wrote that one? That was Anglin that wrote that. Now, you know, whether you like Trump or not, I talk about the psychological ripple effect for people. And you know what? Trump's done enough cool stuff to where I would never want to even worry about what the alternative would be. And he's and the kind of things that he, you know, the South African white farmers tweet, there would be no president that would ever in my lifetime do what Trump has done, even just to say what he said. Now, actions and words are two different things, but this is, you know, this is the best thing I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. Now, is it all just WWE, Vince McMahon, and Donald Trump on the world stage? Is it all theater? Am I going to buy into the pessimism, the 100% pessimism? No, I'll remain slightly pessimistic, you know, at least. Well, I'm not even going to use the word slightly. I'll just use the word I'm gun shy of politicians, but I'm relatively cool with where we are right now. And I'm going to get into some things on the other side where the whole war agenda that I talked about earlier, this might be bringing us there. But I mean, these people that could get on TV and radio and say and do the things they do, these people at these funerals, these two funerals, this, I mean, that's the lowest of the low. See you guys on the other side.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're back. So I'm going to play this scumbag Michael Eric Dyson, professor at Georgetown University, hardcore Annie White. I mean, married three times, separated, divorced three times, brother and doing life for murder, real turd in a punch bowl. Works for the Jesuits out of Georgetown, one of the epicenters of basically liberation theology, Marxism, communism, the whole nine yards, overthrowing the American system. Now he goes off on Obama without mentioning his name about not showing up to Aretha Franklin's funeral because it's too black. But then he goes off on Trump. And this is at Aretha Franklin's funeral, and it's only about 2 minutes long, but let's go ahead and listen. Clip 14. This guy's a real piece of work.
Then in that belly of blackness in Detroit, without apology or excuse, that embrace of her blackness led her to be political. We got all kind of music now that ain't got nothing to do with nothing except cars and money and glory. I ain't mad at that, but she was about getting Angela Davis out of jail. She was about working with Martin Luther King Jr. and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. She was about transforming the existence of black America. Now Negroes scared to say they black. Scared to show up at a too black place. That's why some black folk ain't here today. They sending letters. They don't want to get up in this blackness. They don't want to feel the nasty power of this blackness. We are black in Detroit. We don't care. Take your shoes off. Dip it in the water. Get baptized. And then this orange apparition had the nerve to say she worked for him. You lugubrious leech. You dopey doppelganger of deceit and deviance. You lethal liar. You dim-witted dictator. You foolish fascist. She ain't worked for you. She worked above you. She worked beyond you. Get your preposition right. Then he got the nerve to say he gonna grab it. That ain't what Aretha Franklin said. I'm gonna give you something you can feel. Like the brothers in the street say, tap lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache.
All right. Somebody in one of the comments section when, oh, she didn't work for you. Who signed her paycheck? I guess when she was singing it, probably in one of the Trump's resorts or some crap. I don't know, but ridiculous. You know, everybody makes it personal, and they got to politicize a funeral. They did that with McStane. I mean, what an embarrassment. Like, see you guys on the other side.
State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.